With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning to you. We've got some more Yankee fallout, I'm sure, this morning as they'll look ahead to 2019. But we've also got some Thursday night football in a game that could mean the Giants playing for something in Week 7 or not in this Week 6 matchup on Thursday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants have had a terrible season to this point. Drama off the field, playing poorly, bad offense, people screaming about Eli again. However, if they win tonight, they will have the same amount of wins as the division leader and everybody else in the division. Their season could be saved or ruined tonight, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay. I just want to follow up that little discussion that Al and Jerry were just having about vertigo, because I thought it was actually pretty interesting. I had a couple teammates that had this problem. And, you know, there were a couple games where, you know, we were getting ready to play on the road where they couldn't play because of a long flight, like to Denver or to L.A. or something like that, or to Oakland. But what ends up happening is I think their pressure in their head due to the cabin pressure, and they have problems with their ears and stuff, that they got dizzy.
It was almost
like a concussion symptom, you know what I mean? Like there was something going on upstairs, and they were very unstable, so they couldn't play because they felt this weird dizziness, and it would come and go. And I can understand why John Gruden is saying that. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so, vertigo is nothing to mess with. I mean, you're not going to be able to coach like he needs to coach if he's sitting there being dizzy the entire time.
If he gets hit with it, and who knows? And only he'll know when obviously they land. I don't know. I think they're probably going today, I think, the Raiders are, to London, which is, you got the Raiders, Raiders and Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
In London. Let's just send the two teams that are about as far away as possible to London. Doesn't make any sense.
I know. And, well, one of them played. Well, the Seahawks definitely played last week, right? And then the Raiders. No, both played.
Yes.
Neither one of them had a bye. I guess they'll have a bye afterwards.
Right. It's crazy. So, you know, who knows? I mean, and that is obviously a long flight from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to be on the plane for, what, 11 hours?
At least, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, so I can understand why John is worried about that. I don't know if they would come to New York and land and get off the plane and walk around or something, maybe relieve any of that pressure. But it's a weird deal, you know, and it's frustrating because people can't understand it, you know. And anybody who suffers from vertigo or anything like that, or has a bout of it, it's like a migraine headache, you know. You totally can see a person with a migraine headache just go into a dark room and just put like a cold cloth in their head and just try to fight through it. It's not easy. And I've had players that have had migraines. I've had players that dealt with vertigo. I've had all sorts of stuff like that. So this is not like a surprising story to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they ended with the vertigo discussion as opposed to a sex robot discussion do, because I don't know if I could open the show with that one.
Right. So let's just pick up some of the pieces for the Yankees right now, okay? And just figure out what in the world Brian Cashman's going to do here. I've often told you that I want my general manager, and I think my general manager for the New York Rangers is in the middle of doing this, right? To be being a ruthless guy trying to figure out how to make the team younger, how to make the team faster, and how to get the players in here that are going to fit the brand of baseball that you want to play. Now, in order to do that, that means you're going to probably have to cut bait with a few of the guys that, you know, obviously have meant a lot to the franchise, to the fan base, and everything else. But you got to be realistic about what is going on here. And that's why, like, guys like CeCe Sabathia and Brett Gardner, as good as they have been, as great Yankees as they have been, you know, you start looking at the youth and the and the infusion of youth that the Yankees have had, whether it be Gary Sanchez, Severino, Judge, Andujar, Torres, Voit now, you know, this is where you want to continue to go. And maybe you find a piece when it comes to your pitching staff, because that's where it needs to be fixed. You got to believe that Torres and Andujar are going to be better. You got to believe that, you know, hopefully Stanton's going to come back. He's going to be better. That Sanchez is going to have a better year than he had this past year. You know, baseball players go up and down. We all know that. We've seen it a million times. But this is not the time now to get sentimental about your team and the history of your team. Now is the time to start making some real decisions and getting some, you know, giving some other players now opportunities, like, say, a Clint Frazier, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know about his concussion situation, where his scenario is. But this is like the perfect time for a guy like that to become a part of this team, or at least given an opportunity.
Well, the perfect time was actually this year.
Yeah, but he was hurt, though.
And he ended up being hurt, which was unfortunate for him with the concussion. He's had several of those, and you wonder if that's going to linger throughout his career now. But I think moving on from C.C. Sabathia and Brett Gardner is going to be very easy for the Yankees with the disappointing finish that they had. And I think that everybody knows it. I think that those two guys know it. I think that Brian Cashman knew that that was probably going to be the case. I mean, this is a guy, if you're worried about Brian Cashman being ruthless or not, just look back to last year at the end of the ALCS where he made a change at manager. A manager who, of course, got a World Series championship for them. They got him to Game 7 of the ALCS when no one expected them to be there. A manager, yes, had a big snafu against the Indians, but they came back, and it felt like they won for him, and he still made a change of manager. So I don't think that's going to be a ruthless move. I think something, if you wanted to think, like, what could Brian Cashman do that was really ruthless, it would be trading away one of the younger players to go get a starting pitcher that's better than what's out there on the free agent market. And I don't think he's going to do that either. I think he's probably going to bring back Jay Happ. I know everybody this morning and throughout the season was talking about a trade deadline target that now is going to be a free agent, Patrick Corbin of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's going to be a guy you go out there and get. But I don't know if it's going to be this big splash impact offseason for the Yankees. I think they're going to tweak and they're going to do a couple of things, bring a couple of these guys back. And I think you're going to see mostly the same team because there aren't a lot of holes on the team. There really aren't.
In their eyes, there are not a lot of holes in the team. But in my eyes, there are. I mean, the whole starting staff is like, what are we doing? I don't know if Jay Happ is coming back.
No, I think he is probably.
You know, Tanaka and Severino. Okay, so those are your three guys. Then what?
Well, I mean, I think that Corbin's going to be a guy that they're going to go out and get. I think you're going to have Corbin. And then that fifth guy, I don't know. I mean, Jordan Montgomery, I haven't talked about in forever. He'll be back at some point. I mean, they'll find a fifth starter, right? But if you're four, Severino, Tanaka,
right,
Happ, and Corbin, I mean, I would be okay with that.
I'm just saying, it's not, just so everybody understands, it's not about the regular season and getting through the regular season. They'll be fine and they'll get through the regular season. It's about how are you going to dethrone either the Red Sox or the Astros? How are you getting through the American League, and how do you match up against those two teams is really the question.
Well, you're not going to go out and get the 1% of the league that's got an ace. Like that, like those guys out there, the Bumgarners, the Kershaws, the Chris Sales, the Scherzers, the DeGroms, like that guy's not going to be on the Yankees next year, I don't think. I don't believe, unless they decide to completely blow it up and trade guys like Andujar and Torres when they weren't willing to do so in the past because of the result that happened to them in this ALDS. So that's what you're going to get.
Right.
I mean, that's what your staff's going to be. So, and by the way, if you look at the Red Sox staff, I know that Eovaldi and Porcello were great, but they're still Eovaldi and Porcello. So, I mean, they had Chris Sale, who's an all-timer, David Price, who's a dog, and then those two guys who were just guys, essentially, that shut down the Yankees and don't shut down everybody else as well. At least, I mean, Porcello's had some moments.
All right, so they shut him down. Fine, I get it. But like I told you yesterday, you can't go into the playoffs thinking that, unless the Brewers prove otherwise this year, thinking that your starting pitcher, you know, you got to yank him out after two innings and you got to be on the top step. You know, I mean, what kind of message is that sending to your pitcher, too, by the way? And I guess it doesn't really matter because you just want him to go out and perform. But you got to have guys that you can count on.
Yeah,
I mean, right now, the only guy that they legitimately counted on, and I feel bad for Jay Happ because I feel bad that he didn't get a chance to come back. You know, he had like Severino had a chance last year to come back. You know, it was a disaster in the wild card against the Twins. He came back and he settled everybody down. You know, Jay Happ didn't have a chance to come back after his game one foray up there in Fenway Park. So I don't know what he is, or, you know, I'm sure a left-handed pitcher in Yankee Stadium is great to have. That's what you want to have. Hopefully they'll, you know, figure out a way to make that happen. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you other than if you don't have a couple of those guys at the top of your rotation that you can count on giving you more than 2, 3, or 4 innings, I mean, you know, you're going to be beating your head up against the wall again next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened to Happ was abnormal. I think the big concern is Severino and what he's going to be in big moments. I mean, you said it 1,000 times yesterday and the day before, and I think you're right about, you know, him in those big situations. Is he made for those big situations?
I mean, first of all...
Is he a guy that every time he's going to go out there in a playoff game, you're holding your breath?
The more I think about it, the more I talk to, a number of Yankee fans, baseball players, Major League Baseball players, they're all like, how does he not warm up at the right time? How does he not know what time to warm up at? What the hell is Larry Rothschild doing?
Yeah.
Like, how did that even happen? How did that scenario, it's a bad look. It's kind of like the way the Mets started when they batted out of order. Like, how does that happen? Somebody is not connecting the dots. Somebody is not doing their job. Somebody is getting complacent. And this is why, you know, Brian Cashman has got to be ruthless. You got to look through all of this and say, okay, what happened here? How did it happen? And where did the disconnect? And, you know,
oh, so tell me what the ruthless move would be, though, right, you would make.
Well, I'm just saying, in the case of Severino, and again, I don't have all the facts, so I'm playing a hypothetical game with you right now. So I don't want people to think that I know something that that happened here, because I don't. But what I'm saying to you is, here you are. You're in the biggest series against your rival in your building, and you're about to go up, hopefully, on the Red Sox 2-1. This is your chance. You have your ace on the mound, and you're in your building in front of your frenetic fans that are out of their minds, and let's go. Because you just came off of the big win with Tanaka and everything else, and Tanaka obviously has shown himself to be a true pro again, right? So now, all of a sudden, you're – young stud starter is late to the bullpen because he doesn't know what time the game is starting. So I actually hold the pitching coach responsible for that. I hold the staff responsible for that. And if you really want to be ruthless about it, somebody on that staff has got to go, because you're not going to get rid of the player, because the player, you know, obviously you believe has got a very high ceiling. And he's cheap right now, and he can still give you what you would hope is going to be ace-like performance next year. And I'm that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute, time out. It's game three. It's the most important game of the year. We have a chance to go up 2-1 on the Red Sox in our building in front of our fans, and our mercurial, young, immature, whatever you want, however you want to describe it, pitcher is not out there going through his normal routine in the bullpen. I'm sorry. Somebody has to, you know, feel the wrath of that. And then that game turns into a 16-1 embarrassing blowout. 16-1.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, it was horrible.
So my point being, if you are the general manager and you're sitting on top of this and you're looking at this, you know, there's something wrong here. And, you know, somebody somewhere is complacent. Somebody somewhere is not on the same page. Now, I often point out, you know, Belichick and the way he runs the Patriots. And I believe that is so, like, you hear him say in public, no days off. You hear him say in public, do your job. You hear him say in public, the Patriot way, right? All simple kind of steps that anybody in any business can attach to the way that they're going to do their business. And I think that's right where Brian Cashman finds himself right now. You don't want to do anything to overreact immediately. You want to assess all the situations. You want to know all the facts about what happened, how it happened, who's responsible for it. And then you want people to know that, hey, listen, this is we're not playing tiddlywinks here. This is Major League Baseball. We are selling things to our fans. We have the highest ticket price in baseball. And I cannot have a disgraceful performance of that magnitude happen in a game three of a of the ALDS.
But you also gotta evaluate the relationships that Rothschild has with the staff
too.
Just
so you understand, again, I'm not advocating that. I'm going through hypotheticals. And that's how I would look at it as if I were a general manager. I would, especially a general manager who has one of the highest payrolls, especially a general manager who basically made all of these changes last year at this time, beginning at this time, and brought in all these people. And I told you, all of those changes are on the general manager. And I thought prior to the playoff starting, Brian Cashman as a general manager, I gave him an A+, because there were players out there that he acquired, brought them here to New York, and made the team better. So Aaron Boone had a better chance to win. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So now they didn't win, and I have to find out. And if I find out that somebody is complacent, not doing their job, not communicating with somebody, and my stud ace at the age of 24, the immature player that he is, doesn't show up and go through his routine at the proper time because he's not sure about the game starting, and I know it's confusing, but oh my God, come on. You're playing in the game. You need to know these things. It's part of a systemic problem if that is the case. You can't have people being complacent about what they're doing in their jobs and their workplace, especially at this high level, at these games at this level, and the pressure that is associated with it and how, you know, people's jobs depend on it. Now, that's what Mike Tomlin was saying. Like, you know, enough with the flags already, because it's going to cost somebody a job. It's going to cost a player a spot on the team. Somebody's going to get cut because of a loss, because we have to make an example of somebody, just like they did with Eric Flowers here with the Giants. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, enough with the flags already.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Brian Cashman is going to look long and hard at everything like he always does. But I don't believe that you're going to see what you saw last year, which was a shocking move in getting rid of Joe Girardi.
That was stunning.
I think that if he changes pitching coaches, that's just like your classic thing in sports where it's like, oh, okay, you know, so we got to blame it on somebody. So, you know, we'll bring in this guy and get rid of that guy. Like, remember, that's not going to change a whole hell of a lot.
Why was it so stunning last year?
Because they overachieved.
Yeah, that's why that was stunning.
Right. He got so much out of that team. And this was not a guy who did not get the Yankees a championship. He was the manager of a Yankees championship team, which generally builds up a ton of equity for a guy in any sport in any place. And that's why, I mean, you get to game 7 of the ALCS, which is a team that was not predicted to make the playoffs.
That's why it was stunning.
Right.
Anything that Brian Cashman does now, in light of what happened here, the fact that your Red Sox team came into your building and embarrassed you the way they did. I mean, any reaction that he has, if anybody loses a job over something that went on behind the scenes that we didn't see, will not be stunning. It's not stunning. It's
reactionary. Well, it'd be stunning if he fired Boone. It would be stunning if he did that.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that. But right. I'm just saying, somebody's got to be held accountable. And there are a number of things that happened here, you know. And first and foremost, you had a maiden voyage manager going into the playoffs who, you know, for 8 years prior to that, or was 6 or 7 years prior to that, was in the booth with other people, and it's nice and comfy. You got your coffee. You're sitting there, and you're saying what you think you would do in this situation without any pressure. Now, when you put the uniform on and you sit in that dugout, it's a completely different set of circumstances. And the worst part of the circumstances, you know, if you are indecisive or if you don't make the decision or the decision you make works against you, you are going to get roasted, especially if you are inexperienced.
Yeah, now I don't want this to be some sort of referendum on Larry Rothschild, and this is the guy that we're zeroing in on.
But hold on, I'm just talking about.
Yeah, that. I know, but let me just also say this about the two decisions to leave in the starters in games 3 and 4. Larry Rothschild and any pitching coach generally stands right next to the manager the entire game. That's another thing I would look into if I'm Brian Cashman. I'd say, all right, what were you saying to Aaron Boone at this point about a guy that you've dealt with the entire year in either Luis Severino or CC Sabathia? What was your take on that situation? Do you agree with Aaron Boone? Was he going against what your recommendation was? And if you add to the fact that you're going to put most of the blame on Rothschild and the staff during the Severino thing, then yeah, I mean, that's a terrible look, because you could point to those three things, leaving Severino in too long, not knowing the start time, and leaving CC in too long, as things that could have, not would have, but could have swung the series in the other direction. So, yeah, it's going to be something he's going to look long and hard at. But as far as the position players, I think there's going to be a couple of decisions there, and I don't think they're going to go crazy.
So let me ask you a question. If I know if George Steinbrenner owned this team. I can't speak for Hal or Hank or anybody else, but I know if George did, he'd be in there with his general manager going, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And maybe some of it would be so bizarre that, you know, you just have to learn how to manage the relationship from a general manager standpoint. And some can do it, and some don't do it so well, right? I would think if I were Hal Steinbrenner, from an owner standpoint, I'd say, okay, what the hell happened here? And let me know why it happened. Because, quite frankly, we just were embarrassed. We haven't played these guys, in 13 or 14 years in the playoffs?
Yeah.
They came in here and they beat us 16-1. I want to know why I lost that game 16-1. I want to know what the hell was going on that our team wasn't prepared. Why wasn't our manager aware of the failings of his young stud? What happened in pregame? Why wasn't he going through his routine? You know, they could say whatever they want about, oh, yeah, he went through his routine, he got his work in. That's all just words. The reality is, and we all believe so, that he did not get his work in, that it was the screwed up in some way, some time problems. So I want to know all the answers to that. And then I'll make my assessment as to whether or not you, the general manager, are still here.
Boomer and Gio just getting started.
If you're losing control of the guys underneath you, then I got a problem with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.